Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
I am the editor-in-chief of a magazine that really caters to health and wellness professionals, and I do a lot of writing, I do a lot of interviewing, but today we have who I consider the king of interviewing, Michael Senoff. Not only does Michael ask the right questions, but he anticipates what you would ask and then asks it for you every single time. Then he puts these skills to use not just on anybody, but with leaders in the marketing industry. Together, between his ability to interview and the leaders that he interviews, he provides his hidden marketing asset consultants, which I'm proudly one, with incredible training for a very reasonable expense. So I just want to introduce everybody to Michael Senoff and to start interviewing you, Mike, if that's okay with you, unless you want to say anything.
No, thanks for having me, and I hope I can provide some good information. I'll tell you anything I can, anything you want to know, I'll just give you my best answer. Hopefully some of these answers will benefit some of your health and wellness professionals, and maybe they can pick up some tips, and I'll just share my experience.
So, Michael, you know, I've heard it a few times, but how did this all begin? I know that you wanted to stay home and take care of your son, but take us through that story.
Well, first of all, I've always been entrepreneurial, so I guess I'm maybe unemployable. You know, I've had some pretty bad jobs, especially in high school, bussing tables and cleaning bathrooms and shucking oysters and waiting on tables, scooping ice cream, you know, just the regular jobs where you're paid per hour. And I really didn't like that. I was probably pretty lazy, and I'm always looking for a better way. So as I grew up through high school, you know, we used to mow lawns. We had a little lawn business, my brother and I. I'd sell cinnamon toothpicks at school. We'd sell candy. I'd sell greeting cards. I kind of just got into selling because you can make more money doing selling. And so I've been entrepreneurial, but the whole thing with the interview site, HardToFindSeminars.com, was eBay was becoming very, very popular. Their stock was going through the roof, and I was looking for answers beyond traditional selling. I had studied the masters of selling like Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and Tom Hopkins, and I thought sales was going to be my answer. If I can learn to sell, I can make all the money I would need. But I soon learned that there's more to just selling. It's marketing. And so I became a student of good marketing. And the first guy that really impressed me that I came about was a guy named Jay Abraham. And I had heard that he was putting on these seminars that were selling for $20,000. And I'm like, $20,000? Who the heck's going to pay $20,000 to go to a seminar? I had just moved out here to San Diego. I was living in a one-bedroom apartment down in Pacific Beach. I was one of the very first people to have high-speed internet. So I was into the computer, and I had high-speed internet, which really gave you a competitive advantage online because you can move around the internet pretty fast without that slow 56K modem. I came across this Jay Abraham stuff, and I called their office, and I talked to a gentleman named Carl Turner. He was one of the marketing guys for him, and he had sold me, I think I paid maybe $175 for these two VHS cassettes, and it was called Optimization, and it was a presentation that Jay Abraham did with Tony Robbins at one of Tony Robbins' mastery events, one of his big events. And this thing just blew me away. It was marketing. And from then on, I fell in love with it. And I had to get my hands on one of these $20,000 seminars. And as I kind of did a little research, I found a guy in California who went to one of his $20,000 seminars. and I asked him if he would fax me the list of all the people who went to the seminar who were in California. Because when you went to one of his seminars, you got a list of all the other people who were J. Abraham proteges. And he printed that in a binder, and you took that home after your seminar so you could network with other like-minded marketing people. So I had this list of the people in California, and I found someone right in my area, and I called them up, and I said, hey, by any chance, do you still have those tapes that you got from the J. Abraham seminar? And they said, yes, I do, and I've never looked at them. They were all boxed up, and I ended up buying that set of tapes for $50. The same stuff that they paid $20,000. Of course, they went to a live event, but everything they heard at the event was recorded, and they had audio tapes of the stuff.
Do you still have them?
No. So what happened was I got them, and I devoured them. So I wanted to get my hands on as much J. Abraham stuff as I could from other people who went to the seminar. So remember I said eBay stock was going through the roof, and I was looking for a new, like, online business. So I wanted to start buying and selling stuff on eBay. And this is barely before digital cameras were out. And I went to a photography show because at the time I was manufacturing a line of pens, specialty pens. And I made a pen that removed red eye from photographs when you got your pictures back. And this is right on the verge of when digital photography was just kind of in its infancy. And I sold pens to the photo industry. So I think I was in Las Vegas and I went to a trade show related to my pen manufacturing business for the photo industry. And Sony was there selling a camera called the Movica. And this camera was a nice kind of high-end camera that you could put a floppy disk into the camera so you could take your pictures and it would save it to the floppy disk. Then you could take your digital picture that was on the floppy disk, put it into your floppy disk drive of your computer, and then you can upload pictures. And I bought this camera. It was a $900 camera. And then now I had a way to take digital images and start selling on eBay. And the story goes, I wanted this big blue barbecue grill. It was called a Kamado grill. And I was engaged, and I think I was living with my fiance at the time, and it was a $1,700 barbecue grill. And I wanted this thing, and my wife didn't want me spending $1,700 on a grill. So I said, fine, I'm going to sell my J. Abraham tapes on eBay. And this is how it all started. I listed the same tapes that I got for $50 up onto eBay, and I sold them for $1,700 to a guy in Australia. And boom. So the secret is when you find something that works, you keep doing it again and again. And that's what I did for years. And that's why I set up the site, Hard to Find Seminars. I was buying pre-owned J. Abraham marketing seminars and reselling them on eBay. And that was the start of my Hard to Find Seminars website.
So you actually just went around and found these different audios from these marketing kings, and then you resold them on eBay. But that doesn't explain, Michael, how were you able to get to the level you're at where you have people like Ted Nicklaus interviewing with you, and didn't you do a Brian Tracy and a John Calkin and a Bob Bly? And
my story I just gave you is what started it. So, you know, a lot of times we start things and we don't know where it's going to go. I would meet marketing people, and I remember I met this one guy, and I had wanted to figure out how to record digital audio. I think what I did is I had a sales letter up on my website, and I thought, boy, it would be really nice to have a recording of this sales letter or to have a recording for the people who come to the website. I remember I said, if you don't have time to read this letter, you can listen to this audio. And there weren't many tools to record digital audio. And I had some software gave me the ability to record over the computer or over the phone. And I had put this audio up on the website, and people responded to it. And I was just passionate about marketing. And anyone I could talk to who is passionate about marketing, I would start interviewing. These are regular guys in the trenches trying to find their way, just like I was. And I had slowly built up this collection of these interviews on these different topics related to marketing with all kinds of different people. I hadn't really gone to the high-end famous people. And then I just started slowly. It was 30 interviews, then it was 50 interviews, and it was 60 interviews and 70 interviews. And now I've got over 250 interviews up on my site. And the model was I was always going to give them away for free. And the reason I started doing these interviews were because I wanted to have a reason and to get people to my website so I could sell them the Jay Abraham stuff that I had. And by then, I was buying a lot of pre-owned Jay Abraham. And not only Jay Abraham, because what would happen if someone went to a Jay Abraham seminar, that person was marketed to by other marketing gurus. Like, I would find when I bought all their stuff, there would be Gary Halbert stuff, or there would be Ted Nicholas stuff, or Bob Bly tapes. So that whole group, they would all joint venture and partner with each other and share the names and market to each other's names. So I would end up learning about all these other great marketing experts other than Jay Abraham. And as I bought and sold these seminars, I studied these guys as well. And soon I had to shift my business from not buying pre-owned Jay Abraham tapes and seminars to developing my own products, my own intellectual property. Because you have to understand, what I was doing was legit. I was buying and reselling. But there was not an unlimited supply of used Jay Abraham tapes out there. I only had a list of 900 people to call on that was published in the old seminar. So I was working off that list either by phone, or I would use direct mail to say I'm interested in buying your old seminars. But the writing was on the wall. Those names were going to run out. And my supply of pre-owned materials was going to run out as well. So I said, I better get busy and create some of my own intellectual property that I control, that I can sell and keep all the money, you know, and not have to worry about eBay. There was also competitors coming on to eBay buying and selling Abraham stuff. So I slowly saw that niche become kind of complicated.
Evaporating.
So I moved my model to developing my own intellectual property and offering that with some of the stuff that I was selling by Abraham. And finally, I made the leap and stopped probably about 2.5-3 years ago. I don't buy and resell any pre-owned marketing material. I only sell my own material or material that I've been able to acquire the licensing rights to. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Well, it's all outstanding stuff. And now, you know, I almost heard, Michael, that all of these interviews, in a way, it's like going to college on specifically marketing interviews. Did you do any marketing for companies yourself while you were doing these interviews?
I try and keep myself out of actually doing the marketing for the company because I want to market my own business and my own company, but I will do consulting by phone.
Right, right. And I know that you sell the HMA system. You have HMA University, HMA standing for Hitting Marketing Assets. And I have to say that I've been in the operations and marketing industry with fitness and rehab and wellness for too long, about 25 years. And when I bought your stuff, Michael, I have to tell you that through you and your ability to coach and just help folks to hold their hand, because a lot of times we know what we're doing, but just that call you up or shoot you an email and you saying, yes, keep going in that direction, it means a lot. But the structure and the organization of the program is unlike any that I've ever seen before. So if you want to just comment on what HMA is all about and how it would apply to consultants or coaches that cater to the health and wellness industry, that would be great.
Sure. HMA stands for Hidden Marketing Assets, and it was a system designed by a gentleman I met named Richard. Before I met him, I was actually marketing another consulting system online through my website, and I had a joint venture, a strategic partnership with someone, and I had interviewed this man, and he had a great program, and we had an agreement that I would be compensated for anyone that I brought to his seminars, and I did very well at it for a while, but that relationship dissolved when maybe some agreements weren't being met. I didn't want to get into all the details, but that business relationship dissolved, and I still had a lot of very interested people interested in marketing consulting. And so I sought out online to look at other marketing experts out there, and just by pure accident found Richard's marketing system. Before I even met him, he had put about 100 people through, I think it was a $10,000 and maybe a $5,000 training where they would go through a marketing system that he developed based on challenges he had He was one of the guys who went to J. Abraham Seminar. He was one of the J. Abraham proteges. Remember I said J. Abraham put 900 people through the training? Well, Richard was one of them. And J. Abraham's philosophy was to approach a client, go out there, and do a contingency-based marketing, meaning you would approach him and you'd make this offer. You'd say, if I can show you how to make a dollar in your business, would you be willing to share 25 cents of that dollar with me? And it's a no-brainer offer because anyone would say yes. And Richard went out and did that, but he found that people would say yes, but he could never get them to implement or execute the marketing strategies that he was coaching them and asking them to implement so he could make his 25 cents on that dollar. So out of frustration in failing at J. Abraham's seminar, he devised his own system. He said, okay, J. Abraham has a ton of great marketing concepts. He's a wonderful strategic thinker, and his educational material is phenomenal, but it's a little bit unorganized. It's not put into a system. And so Richard took everything he learned and what he learned from being out in the field working with and coaching and executing marketing projects for clients and put it into a system where he would sell project-based work. So this is the only way he could feed his family because he could now go to a client and take them through something we call an opportunity analysis, which is a needs analysis. And it's as much for the consultant as it is for the potential client. We got to find out what marketing assets, what hidden marketing assets is that business owner sitting on, and can we utilize these marketing assets to get some growth for his business? So Richard would start charging for project work, and the project work he would ask to be paid up front before a project. And this is what he found worked, because when a client or a prospect pays you for project work, they're more likely to implement what the consultant or the professional advises because he's got some skin in the game. And so the HMA system is based on, we're probably now 20 years since Richard went out and developed a system of marketing from identifying a prospect, qualifying a prospect for an appointment, making the appointment, taking the prospect through a opportunity analysis to see if you can identify marketing assets in the business, and closing a prospect for marketing projects that they would pay you for upfront. And the USP of the system, what makes the system unique for all these business owners, is that the system is designed to grow a business without them spending any additional money on advertising. So the first four projects that Richard developed are developed specifically to not ask for any additional advertising revenues to get the new business, to get the new clients. You have something called developing a USP, integrating a USP into the business and into the sales team, whether it's inbound or outbound. There's database marketing. If a potential prospect isn't acquiring a name or an email address of a prospect or a potential customer, they're really missing the boat, because it's those names and your ability to make contact with these prospects that's going to increase your revenues and sales. And then there's strategic alliances, joint ventures, where you can establish non-competitive joint venture alliances where you're either cross-promoting or endorsing or partnering with other businesses that aren't competitive, but their customers have characteristics that could be good for what you're offering. So when a prospect hears, well, grow my business without spending more money on advertising, it really stands out, because a small business is used to hearing from the guy selling radio advertising, or the guy selling magazine advertising, or the guy selling newspaper advertising, or now the guy selling SEO services, all that ask for upfront money. And most of these advertising methods cannot be tracked, and the business owner maybe has had poor past experiences with advertising, and they don't know if it really worked because it was never tracked or tested to see if that advertising brought in a return. So with the HMA system, all of these things give a potential prospect a way to grow a business without them spending money on additional advertising. It's a breath of fresh air, and it's totally different from everything they've heard. And the fees that they pay the consultant really isn't an expense. You know, they could bring their own marketing marketing person in-house and maybe pay $40,000 to $100,000 a year, but they can outsource some of their marketing to a consultant that can work on their own time. They could really have a dramatic effect on the business if there's hidden marketing assets within the business. And there's still opportunities for the consultants to work with clients, even if there's not hidden marketing assets and they're a startup. It's not the ideal situation. It's easier when there's a customer list and some marketing assets. So the whole system is designed to finding the gold in the business, really. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Absolutely. Let's just go through that a little bit, Michael. You know, I haven't owned a number of businesses myself. It wasn't until I received your package and saw how it was organized. A number of things I did intuitively growing up through my professional ranks, I said, wow, I can't believe this is put down into such organization. But, you know, I was talking to a client the day before yesterday. He's been in business for 27 and a half years. He didn't know what differentiated himself from all of the other similar businesses in this very crowded marketplace. And on top of that, he actually didn't have what he thought was getting close to USP in any of the marketing literature. So this was a gentleman who's been in business for 27 and a half years, and he's kind of floundering now because the big boys are coming in, they're kind of crowding him out. And I basically, after talking to him, you know, his story is, you know, this trust of having been in business for 27 and a half years. And if we could just talk about USP, because I mentioned to him, if he can quantify the number of customers he's had over those 27 years and how many visits he's made to print and repair companies. You know, the customers range in the tens of thousands, and the repairs, they range in maybe 50 or 60,000. So if you put those numbers together, you can kind of get an idea of the story. But then there's a USP, what differentiates him. And I think that when it comes to chiropractors in town or fitness centers in town or physical therapists in town, even though they may not be a big business, they have to have some differentiation in order to attract the marketplace that they're in.
Absolutely. They have to have differentiation. But, you know, developing a USP project can go even beyond that. They have to have the right message. They have to match that USP, what makes them unique to what their customers are looking for. And I remember I was doing a consult with someone earlier this week, and I used a simple example about a company selling hairbrushes. And let's say that company sold hairbrushes with stiff bristles and soft bristles. And let's say that the company has been selling hairbrushes for 20, 30 years, the stiff bristle hairbrush, and their unique selling proposition that they put on their website that all their salesmen go out and tell people is, our hairbrushes have stiff bristles. And they've been doing that for, say, 20 years. And they maybe have been getting by, but they've never, ever gone out into the marketplace and asked the marketplace, what is it you like about a hairbrush? Is it stiff bristles or is it soft bristles? And maybe just by doing that research, and there is a system in developing a USP by talking to the owner, looking at the competition, interviewing customers, buying customers, and interviewing employees within the operation, if they brought a consultant in 20 years ago, they may have identified that it isn't stiff bristles that everyone wants. They want soft bristles. So let's say that company now has matched up with what the marketplace wants, and they change their website, and they say, our hairbrushes have soft bristles. And then the outbound salespeople, when they're meeting with clients, they say, our hairbrushes have soft bristles. And then the people who take the calls on inbound telemarketing say, thank you for calling the original soft bristle hairbrush. And the packaging in the retail stores and wholesale and every aspect of marketing, that USP has changed from hard bristles to soft bristles. Do you think they can maybe get additional growth just by changing one word?
Well, you wouldn't think so, but I'm sure it really made a difference.
Okay, and that didn't take any additional newspaper advertising or SEO or anything. It was just you brought in an expert to identify what people really wanted. And just by changing the USP from hard bristles to soft bristles, you could see a tremendous growth for this hairbrush company. And this is just a simplified example. And you can't do anything else until you know what your USP is. So now now that you have your USP, if you're going to do additional marketing or joint venture alliances, you have to get this message right. Even if you were to do advertising, now you know what the marketplace is. So now in all your advertising, if you get to a step where you're going to spend additional money on advertising, the message is correct. And this will make all the difference. The USP has got to be done first, and it's got to be done right. And this is fundamental in the HMA system that we teach all the consultants when they talk to businesses. This is why you see so much price competition, because business out there, if they don't know what makes them special, they're always going to fall back on price. And that's why you see companies as commodities, everything based on price. Right. We have the lowest price.
Right. No, absolutely. I had a fitness center. It was one-to-one fitness and rehab in Pennsylvania. This was back in the late 80s, and we were always charging more. Even when we expanded, we had a supervised concept. Our general membership was still a supervised concept. It was always, you know, that folks need supervision. Let's charge a little bit more and give them a supervised concept, personal training or rehabilitation. And then, lo and behold, one of the American Gladiators, Zap, I think her name was, on the American Gladiators, she opened up down the street and charged $24 a month, which was less than half of what we were charging for our supervised program. And folks loved us because we were really high service. So the folks who came to us, they basically said, Bill, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to lower your prices? That's people's very first reaction when they see price bidding going on.
Yeah.
I remember my very first reaction, through the grace of God, I said, no, we're going to actually give more value. So let's find out where we can give more value and stick to our, I didn't even know it was called a USP back then. We won't charge anymore, but let's give more value and we'll just narrow our focus a little bit more. So, Michael, if you don't mind, now the second step, and I know these aren't necessarily sequential, but integrating the USP once the owner agrees that this is the right USP and they can deliver on it, which I know is a very important thing. A lot of folks would like to say that they have a particular USP, but maybe operations aren't organized properly so that they can deliver it, but everything is in line. The second step is integrating that USP for exponential growth. And that seems so intuitive to me, to where, okay, I have my USP, I'm going to put it into all my collateral material, I'm going to teach all the salesmen. Is there something more to the integration of the USP that our listeners might appreciate hearing, like tracking or testing or anything like that?
You know, you want to get a baseline of what you're doing. You know, many of your listeners may not have any USP whatsoever, so you know, I guess they can just track their sales and revenues from what they're doing without a USP. Once they develop the USP, just actually have the consultant develop it for them. They're not going to really see any growth just from the development of it. But when they integrate that message and they've matched up what differentiates them and why their potential prospects want to do business with them, when they have that right and they do the integration, they can see huge growth. So let's say they have outside salespeople or inbound salespeople or on the website or how the employees answer the phone. That USP should be integrated everywhere. It's like everyone here in the U.S. can relate to Walmart. Now, their old USP was low prices. It was everywhere. Yeah, low prices every day. It was on their media. When you go to the store, the greeters had the buttons, you know, low prices. You'd see it in the parking lot where you'd park the baskets. It was integrated everywhere. On the website, it was low prices. Now I think they've changed it. Live better, save more. They wanted to change their USP from being the low price leader, maybe because they didn't want to be a commodity, and I think they want to change it and offer things for more money. So they've changed that USP all through their organization, all through the company, which is a pretty good strategic move. But integrating it is where you're going to get the message out, what makes you special, what makes you unique, what differentiates you. If that's not communicated by your employees, by your salespeople, on your website, you won't be able to shine. You won't be able to explain what makes you different from everyone else, giving someone a reason why they need to do business with you and not the person down the street.
Exactly. And I mean, you use a very good example, Michael, with Walmart. And that's a good example of how it's still a very dynamic process. Just because you come up with the USP, I mean, Domino's had, you know, your pizza delivered in 30 minutes or it's for free. And then a number of other companies like Pizza Hut started to do the same thing. And I'm not sure whether or not Domino's was agile enough to anticipate that and to start to develop another USP. What's their current USP? You know, it's not delicious pizza. It's 30 minutes or it's free. That's the same as everyone else.
I'm sure they have a new one. I don't know what the new one is, but that's the one that got them rapid growth, starting from almost nothing. When they identified what people really wanted when it came to pizza, and they wanted their pizza hot, and they didn't want to have to schlep out to the place to go pick it up. They wanted it delivered to their door. It was hot, fresh pizza that they wanted. And when that was articulated to potential prospects who wanted to buy pizza, that just put them in the map. So one unique selling proposition can just get you tremendous growth. You just totally match what potential prospects are looking for, and it can do wonders for your business. You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Your health professionals all have something very special about them. Now, they may have been in their field for many, many years, and they may think they're just ordinary, but you got to have someone talk to them, and the things that they've been doing all these years may just seem ordinary, and they may say to themselves, well, everyone's like that. That's how we do it in our industry. But no one has actually stated it or sold all the training you go through or the personal service that you do or the warm cookies you serve in the lobby. All these things may be ordinary to you, but if you don't bring those out and give your potential prospects reasons why, they need reasons why. They may want to go with you, but they want reasons why they should do business with you and not the other guy. So if you're the guy who gives the reasons why that match up with what your prospects want, you're going to get the business, because the other guy's never going to articulate why they should do business with you other than their price is the lowest. And people will spend more money if you give them enough reasons why that justify the price.
Tell us a little bit more about database marketing, if you don't mind, Michael.
I think most people, if they're doing any database marketing, I don't know what it is. People are just trained to get a new client, service the client, and then you forget about that new client. But it is 10 times easier selling additional products and services to an existing client who's already bought from you than it is to go out there and get a brand new client. And if your health professionals would spend more time and maybe nurture their existing client, take them through a needs analysis, find out how they're doing, are there any other problems that they're experiencing, ask for referrals. I guess I would say if you just take the time to really care about the existing clients and nurture them, you'll find that these clients are willing to spend more money on different products and different services with you. Your most valuable asset, and we teach our consultants, when we say hidden marketing assets, when we're looking for businesses to work with and we want a business that would be a great business to work with if we're the marketing consultant, I'm looking for a business that's sitting on a customer list, a client list, and they have to have a way to contact that client. Phone number, email address is ideal, mailing address. So database marketing, there's a lot to it. Number one is if you're not keeping a list of your potential prospects and leads and your existing customers, you're making a huge mistake. Because if your whole facility burned down and everything was destroyed, and if you still had your database, a way to contact your past customers, you could survive. But if your facility burned down and you had no way to contact any of your leads or prospects or existing customers and clients, you'd be out of business. So your names are everything, and you should nurture those, and then you can market to those ongoing. Most people feel like they may be bothering their customers when your customers would like to hear from you more than you would think.
You know, a client of mine, he received this email list, and he said, oh, look at this. This is a surprise email list, and I think I'll probably get a few clients out of this. And I said to him, what are you going to tell them? Well, that's easy. Well, is it? Because won't we find out if it's easy depending on the number of conversions you have or whether or not people opt in? So how important is copy, Michael, when it comes to developing the email list, the relationships?
I think copy is everything. I think what's really important is that your health professionals, if they're going to keep in touch with their customers, just to be their friend, be yourself. You don't have to come across sounding, you know, stiff and real professional. You know, people like to do business with friends. So if you've got customers, you know, there's a great interview on my site with a lady who started a huge internet business, and she started out talking about her cat. I mean, people are people. You can talk about normal stuff that goes on in your daily life, and you can tie it into your practice or your profession. The main thing is to start building a bond and having your customers hear from you a little bit more than they're used to, and start kind of becoming a friend. And you can automate it. Doesn't mean you have to get on the phone and talk to them for 30 minutes. You can do it through the mail. You can have a little newsletter that keeps them up to date. You can use email. Now, that is primarily my marketing method, is I send out an email to my mailing list that's, you know, over 10,000. I send out an email every single day. Now, you may say, every day, aren't you going to annoy these people? That's spam, that people don't want to hear from you that much. But it is not true. Your customers and your prospects and your clients want to hear from you more than you think. And when you're making an offer or you're providing some value every single day, you're going to be the guy that they look forward to hearing from, especially if you're doing it every day. And when you're making an offer every day, things just start to happen. There's going to be someone on your email list or your customer list that you've reminded them of something, like your Aunt Susie who needed an adjustment. Or, you know, it's just about reminding your prospects and your customers that you're here and that you're here willing to serve and offer help. Database is everything. If you don't have a way to talk to your customers or keep in touch with them by email or mail, nothing is going to happen. You're just going to be the guy sitting there waiting for someone to walk into your place or to call you.
That's outstanding advice. And, you know, and I get your emails every single day. And I, for one, must say that they're quite amusing, and they always teach a lesson with a little mundane story. So I think it's great. So listen, here's something that I did a while ago, but I never even considered it. The strategic marketing alliances. How come, Michael, you know, I have already spoken to people, businessmen, and I'm not sure whether or not it's age specific. You know, I think that men or women or whatever my age, maybe that's it, I don't know. But they're a little shy about opening up to alliances for some reason, even if they're going to benefit. You know, the gentleman I was talking about with the printer repair, he was kind of closed to the idea of, I'm not going to put my ad on the back of someone else's furniture place, or I'm not going to do this. I couldn't understand that. Do you know the dynamics behind it?
I think I do know. A strategic alliance or a joint venture can be one of the most powerful ways to grow your business. I mean, imagine if you're a chiropractor and then you have maybe a doctor who keeps in touch with their customers and they're local, and he has a list of, say, 500 to 1,000 of his own customers, and you, the chiropractor, and that doctor meet for lunch, and you guys decide y'all want to work with each other and promote each other to each other's customers. Let's say your customer base is maybe maxed out, but imagine how powerful it would be if that doctor endorsed you as the city's number one chiropractor. He sang praise about you and talked about how great your service is and gave reasons why his customers should actually go contact you, and that you'd be willing to do a free adjustment or evaluation as a favor for him. I mean, when you have someone endorsing you, it's just incredibly powerful and can grow your business so fast just with one endorsement, whether it's in an email or whether it's in the mail. But that relationship between the chiropractor and that doctor has to be a trust-based relationship. So before he endorses you, he has got to know that you are going to deliver to his patients, because his customer list is a culmination of years and years of his promotion and his work, and his customers trust him, and he has got to feel 100% confident that you're going to treat his people right. Because if you don't, that doctor is going to look like a real fool, and his customers are going to be really angry at him, and that may hurt his business. So this trust has got to be there before you have a successful strategic alliance. And it can be hard cultivating that trust. It may take some time. You may need to have some credibility within your area, your city, or your state before you get that. So it's easy to approach someone and say, hey, let's do a deal, but you're going to have to get to know each other a little bit, or really convince them and have evidence and proof that you're going to deliver on what you say. So I think that's the reason. The partners don't want to be embarrassed, and they don't want to cause any harm onto their existing buying customers. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.
I see. Now, is there a practical way to, let's just say that there's a chiropractor in town, he's kind of progressive with some of his advertising and marketing, and he wants to do the joint venture alliances, and he approaches some person. Is there a practical way of overcoming maybe a lack of familiarity, maybe like a smaller sample size or something?
Yeah, there is. You know, I think that that person who's going to do a joint venture with him has got to know something about him. Now, I know the magic of doing audio interviews. Maybe any of your professionals listening can have someone interview them in detail about their story. How is it they got started? You know, why are they passionate about being a chiropractor, a dentist, or EFT coach or whatever? You know, you need to have some collateral marketing that gives a potential joint venture partner or a prospect or even a customer to know more information about them. They could publish articles, you know, positioning themselves as the expert in their area also gives them credibility. If you look at my site and you go to hardtofindseminars.com and you look at all those interviews that I've done with all the world's top marketing and advertising and copywriting and referral and selling and scripting experts, you look at that and you see all those published interviews that Michael Senoff interviewed all these guys. That's just the magic of marketing. It's proof, it's evidence that I've really done this, and when you publish something, instantly a person will perceive you as an expert, even if the work isn't even that good. It doesn't even have to be that great. So having some published works, I'll give you an example. I'm taking the transcripts of many of my interviews, and I'm publishing them up on Amazon as Kindle books. Just a transcript, which is maybe 25, 30 pages. If I do an hour-long interview, it ends up being about 30 pages, and we put a cover on it, and I'm publishing that as a Kindle book, and it sells for $1. Now, you could do something like that with a white paper or with a newsletter, and then you instantly become a publisher. And you can say, hey, I'm published. I'm up on Amazon. You can Google my name, and believe me, it'll come up when it's up in that Kindle database. Positioning yourself. And I have a wonderful interview on my site at hardtofindseminars.com called The Obvious Expert. And it goes into this in detail. It's incredible. It's very powerful. And that could help some of your professionals. And it's really not that hard to do. And if you don't have the time to do it, or you know you're not going to do it yourself, then you get someone to do it for you. Pay someone to do it for you.
The reason I'm chuckling is because I wanted to get into the physician book writing market and, you know, to help physicians. So I wrote a book called Doctor, Write Your Book, A Roadmap for Wellness Entrepreneurs. And, you know, all I wanted was a business card that gave me some credibility. There was a lot of interviewing. Actually, I did a lot of research in it, but you can do interviewing and get your book or PDF taken care of very quickly.
Yeah, you're right. You don't have to write a whole book. An interview is the fastest and simplest way to write your book. You talk your book. I call it copy talking.
Absolutely. Those were the first four. Those were the strong items, everything from the USP and finishing up with joint venture alliances. And we're kind of running out of time, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about advertising. HMA has a section on custom advertising. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Well, look, there's no doubt advertising is a powerful medium. So many of your listeners may already be advertising, but are they tracking the results of the ads? Are they keying their ads? Do they know, is their advertising paying out? Meaning, is the income that that ad is producing, is that covering the cost of their ad? If it is, they're breaking even. Or are they making two times the cost of their ad? If they're making twice as much, if the ad costs $500 for the month in the newspaper or in the Valpak or on the radio, and it's bringing in $1,000 worth of revenue, then their advertising is working for them, and it's profitable. Well, that's what you want. But did you know that you could simply change the headline of the ad? And remember we talked about the hairbrush company who for 20 years has been selling the hard bristle hairbrush. And let's say your ad has been, you're offering hard bristle hairbrushes, and that ad is making $1,000 when you're spending $500. Well, when you change the headline and you match what your prospects who are viewing your advertising really want, and you put in their soft hairbrush bristles, then you could 10 times or 5 times the revenue on that ad. So now that ad that's costing you $500, if you get the headline right, so you're going to get more eyeballs reading that headline and reading your your ad and responding to your ad, look at the additional revenues you can make. So your advertising could be a liability and maybe costing you money, or it could be a wonderful asset and be making you money. And in the HMA system, we look at all the different forms of advertising. But remember, we take in the USP into consideration. It's what you say in that ad, how to format your ad. And there's some layout examples which will help you get better results of your ads. We always recommend testing. You don't need to spend a ton of money on your advertising, but you can test it small, and if you see a result, you can go bigger and bigger. And advertising can be your number one form of generating business because it's geometric. You can grow it. As long as you get your message right, you can go into more advertising mediums, from TV to newspaper to advertising to online to keyword. If you get that message right, that USP right, and the advertising is paying out, making you a profit, you can grow a very large business very fast if you get that right.
Yeah, it really does come down to testing. I know a lot of folks who, just using the example that you used, where someone's making $1,000 on $500 spent, they're so afraid to try something new because they know that they're getting double the money from their advertising. But if they tested the soft bristles and found out that it was making $3,000, it's not a static environment out there. You have to test and tweak and test and tweak. And that even occurs with the USP, you know, depending on how fluid your particular business is and the environment. So, Michael, what do you think about community relations, PR, for a lot more sales? What exactly does that mean?
It's wonderful. If your listeners have practices that are local, you getting involved with the community can get you free advertising. I was a ZBT. I was in a fraternity at the University of Alabama, and I was talking to the national chapter, and they're doing a series of leadership interviews with past ZBTs, and I was giving him some advice. They have about 30,000 people on their email list, and I was giving him some advice on how they can get better response on their promotional emails to all the ZBT members worldwide, and how that he can get more listeners of these presentations that he has these past ZBTs doing. And on their website, there was a video clip from the Channel 6 News in one of the local areas, and it was a piece that the ZBTs, the fraternity brothers, had this huge 6-foot ball, okay? And they were raising money for a charity. I think it was for burn victims. And every signature that they got on the ball, people would pay a certain amount of money for every signature they got on the ball. So they went out to the community with this huge 6-foot ball, and they had black Sharpie magic markers, and they had to get as many signatures as they could. And it was a real unique way to raise money in the local community and to bring awareness for this charity and to raise money for this charity. And if you had an idea like that for your chiropractic practice to raise money for spinal cord injury, and you went ahead and found one of these huge balls for $60, and your office went out and shared that with the community, you could call your local newspaper and say, hey, you know, we're ABC Chiropractic. We're going to be in Central Park here with a humongous ball. We're collecting signatures to raise money for awareness for spinal cord injury. Would you be interested in doing a piece on us? And the media is dying. They're starving for good stories, especially the local media.
Oh, yeah.
So you could get involved and do unique things, and you call your newspaper. They're looking for stories. They want to hear about people who are doing cool things in the community. What that means for you is free advertising. They may run it on the 6 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news, and they may run the story with affiliate news channels or what have you, and that gets your name out there. You're the chiropractic company who's collecting signatures on this humongous ball. People see the story, and then it reminds them, oh, my back is killing me. It's just free advertising. So you can do all kinds of community relations stuff and look like a hero in the community and get free advertising that gets you more people in your door to know about you.
You know something, Michael, you bring up a very good point. You know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than, in this case, smart. The saying goes, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And when I had my clinics, one of the people I trained, he happened to be a priest, and I used to train him, and he bought me a shirt that said, no mercy, no compassion, just mean. We had a 5 or 6 mile walk around the lake where my clinics were, and I put that shirt on, and my 4-year-old son was getting a little bit tired, so I put him on my shoulders, and the newspaper clicked it, and I was all over the front pages.
Really?
Just pure luck.
Yeah.
And another time, we had a big marquee out, and it just said, neck hurting, come on inside. And there was a major crash right in front of the rehab center. The papers came out, and they took a picture of it, and the people were standing outside of miserably crashed cars with that huge marquee and that sign with my name on it. And really, if you could just think a little bit, you don't have to count on luck, and just think about how things like that can actually bring the papers to you, is just acting proactively.
Right. Just watch your news. So, watch your local news, and you'll see stories. You'll see what the media likes to do stories on, and you can certainly find something to do.
That's a great, great point there. Thank you. So one-to-one direct marketing for a lot more sales. What can the chiropractors, fitness centers, nutritionists, the massage therapists, what can they do in terms of one-to-one direct marketing, Michael?
Well, one-to-one direct marketing is, it's like it says, it's direct marketing. It could be a telemarketing campaign, taking their list of past customers and getting on the phone and maybe calling 10 of them a day and making an offer, a special offer to come in for an adjustment or to come in for a massage or, you know, a facial or whatever you're selling. Just getting on the phone and making a direct call, talking to them personally, that could be a one-to-one direct marketing method. Or if you have their mailing address, it could be sending an invitation with a special offer. It can be an email. You could talk to a list broker and say, you know, I sell this service. Can you help me come up with a list of names that may be a good prospect for my product and service? And you can rent those names, and then you could do a postcard mailing. It's just a way for you to use the post office and use the power of the internet and use the power of telemarketing to make a contact with a potential prospect, a one-to-one contact, either offering some value or offering a special offer. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to get. Most people aren't contacting their customers near enough, if at all. I would say most of your listeners, I'd say 98% of them are never following up with their existing customers on a regular basis. And if they would just do that, they wouldn't have to advertise. They wouldn't be struggling. And it's so easy to do. So I think that's what the direct one-to-one marketing is.
Right. So it all starts with the unique selling proposition, the USP, and then it just comes down to integration and figuring out all these different ways to get that USP and your story out into the marketplace. So, you know, once again, I have brought the very, very best of the folks out in America to give you great information. And Michael, you never disappointed me yet. Hard to find seminars. Outstanding website. I never am disappointed whenever I go to any one of Michael's audios. I encourage anybody out there to do the same thing and learn. And I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Michael, for joining me today for this hour. And I'm sure that our wellness professionals are going to benefit if they take advantage of your website.
Bill, I appreciate it. I know we went over a lot of stuff. And I know, because I remember when I got started and I heard all this stuff, it sounded like Greek to me. It was confusing. I didn't understand it. And don't worry, you don't need to understand everything. You just need to slowly get started and maybe listen to a few things on my site. As a matter of fact, I have about 25 hours of absolutely free audio interviews, all related to growing your business without advertising, that anyone can sign up for. You don't have to even pay one penny, and they could sign up at www.myfirsthmaclient.com. www.myfirsthmaclient.com. I have interviews with Richard, our marketing expert, with other consultants who are out there working in the trenches, growing businesses without advertising. And just those audios alone could really give your listeners a lot of ideas that they can implement in their business starting today.
There's no question about it, Michael. Is there an email address that you'd like to give to our listeners?
Yeah. Anyone can go to hardtofindseminars.com, go to the contact page and email, or they can email me personally if they have any questions. And the best email is my Gmail. It seems like I get all my emails with my Gmail account, and it's real simple. It's SenOff. S-E-N, as in Nancy, O-F-F, like in Frank, dot Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at gmail.com. So that's senoff.michael@gmail.com. If any of your listeners have any questions whatsoever, even if they think it's a stupid question, I will personally answer it and help them out the best I can, or direct them to somewhere if I don't have the answer for them.
Well, there you have it, everybody. Thanks again, Michael. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Bill, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye, Michael.
All right, bye-bye. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.